Last Sunday, Naomi encouraged us and reminded us about being giving, but in an extravagant way, extravagant giving. Did any of you do something that was out of the ordinary for yourself and gave to somebody? Yeah? Do you want to come and share what you did? I know the Bible says don't let your left hand know, but this is to encourage other people to do. Come, quick. Tell us what inspired you to give. And
so every time I go to the gym, there's a boy who sits outside in a school uniform.
Wow.
And I would really not pay attention before. But I realized that his parents work all day and he has to wait for them after school. So I would watch him use his books to instruct. And with that only, I decided to buy him building blocks.
Wow.
And he was very happy. And I think more than anything, he was happy that he was recognized. Because he's there all the time, people just think he's part of the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to be recognized, for me to tell him that great job building the books, but now building blocks.
Yeah. Awesome. You've done something amazing. That is brilliant. What a way to do it. Thank you. That is good. God bless you. You have one more to do this week. You see, it's just as you look around you, you see opportunity. Bless. All right. Has anybody else got a story they'd like to share? Well, if you haven't, I hope you're inspired to, you know, just look around you and just see what is happening in people's lives. Thanks for sharing that, Gwen. It's beautiful. And I love the way that you identified what his sort of gifting was, because when we do that, it enables people to be encouraged to continue doing what they're doing. Well, this morning we're going to continue with our series, Experiencing the Christmas, the Awe and the Wonder. And if you have your Bibles, please do turn to the book of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. I'm going to read that passage of scripture to you. And here's what it says. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." With whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. It was just as the angel had told them. A very, very interesting nugget, an important part of the Christmas story. The shepherds. Have you ever wondered why the shepherds play such an important role in the birth of the story of Jesus Christ? Have you ever wondered what was the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ? Why is it so significant to history? Why is it so significant to the entire world? And why is it a celebration that is still recognized and celebrated across the world every year at a time on the 25th of December? Now, we all know historically and geographically that Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. It was probably more like around the months of October. But a date has been picked in which we celebrate his birthday. But what was the purpose of the birth of Jesus Christ? Why was it needed for God to send his only begotten Son into this world to do something? The angel, the very first statement that the angel makes to the shepherds is a clue of why Jesus came. It says, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. And then it goes on to say that he will bring good news. So why does the world need a Savior? And why is it good news? The good news is that the world was in need of a Savior. To save the world from what? To save the world from their sin. In the Garden of Eden, when God created man and woman, they were created blameless, sinless, and pure. But because they gave in to temptation, because they were tempted, sin entered this world. And as a result of sin, man was separated from a long-standing and established relationship with the Creator, God Himself. And God had to put this right. And we saw last week that Jesus was the Messiah, the Anointed One, that the nation of Israel was looking forward to. But we see here with the angels, with the shepherds, that the angels don't just talk about a Messiah, but they also talk about a Savior. The nation of Israel was looking forward to a king, a ruler, but the shepherds were looking forward to a Savior. Somebody who would save them from their poverty, somebody who would save them from the degradation that they experienced in society, somebody that would change their lives forever. And so we see the shepherds, unlike the nation of Israel, as we saw previously, the shepherds were simple, uneducated people that were looked down upon in society. And yes, the angels paid a visit to Joseph and Mary to let them know that they were going to be the parents of the Savior and the Messiah of this world. But the angels also paid a visit to some very, very simple, humble people, the shepherds. And reminded the shepherds that good news has come. The Savior of the world is born. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So because of the sin of Adam, sin entered the whole world. But the Bible also reminds us, as we see from the story of Easter, that because of the righteousness and the righteous act and the sacrifice of one man, that man Christ Jesus, the stain and the mark and the consequence of sin is dealt with forever. Sin entered the world because of Adam. Sin is taken care of in this world because of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was born to save the world. What was he born? He was born to be a savior to this world. Not just the world of those years, 2,000 years ago, but the world that will continue to exist until this world no longer needs a savior. When will that be? This world will no longer need a savior on Judgment Day. This world will no longer need a Savior when Jesus returns and takes away those who have been faithful. And I trust every one of you, whether it is today or 20 years from now or 30 years from now, will be found to be faithful, and we will experience the rapture with Jesus Christ and enjoy eternity with Him forever. So what is sin has a consequence. The consequence of sin, the Bible says, is death. What death is it talking about? Does it mean that if I sin, I die? No. How many of you sinned this week? Don't put your hands up. Thank you for those of you that were so ready to go for it. But you're still alive. You haven't died because you sinned. But the death the Bible is talking about is a separation from the Creator of this universe, the one who formed you and fashioned you and created you. It is separation from God, for eternity. That is the death the Bible is talking about. And that is the life that Jesus brings to us when we acknowledge Him as our Savior. When we ask Him to forgive us of our sin, He transports us from that spiritual realm of death and separation from God for eternity. In a blink of an eye, He transports us when we commit our lives to Jesus to a place of life and eternity with God, no matter what state we find ourselves in. The grace of God, the salvation of God begins to work in our lives. So God knew if He was going to deal with sin, He had to have a solution. And His solution was sending Jesus Christ on this earth as man to become the ultimate sacrifice for us all. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." So why did the angels pay a visit to the shepherds? Why couldn't the angels have paid a visit to some other people? There were so many people that angels could have visited. Now let me put this in perspective. I want you to go to my slides. Let me put this to perspective. We're living in a different dispensation right now, where God is accessible to each one of us. Let me give you an illustration. I remember the days when very few people had telephones. Do you remember those days? If you had a telephone, you were a very important person. Now remember, in our circle of influence amongst the hundreds of people that lived in our area, just a few families had a telephone. And one family was kind enough to allow most of us to use their telephone to receive calls from abroad and from neighbors and friends and uncles and aunts that had telephones wherever they were. And I remember when their telephone would ring and they were in the opposite building, they would come and shout out, "Ian, call for you." And Ian would pace down 3 flights of steps, run across, especially if it was near me calling, and go up and pick up that phone and have a chat with them. Or if it was a cousin that was calling from abroad or some aunt. And so that was a different dispensation, wasn't it? And that's what it was like in those days. It was not common for people to hear from God. It was not common, and people didn't have access to God. Unlike today, on your mobile phone, nobody is going to ask you to borrow your phone, because everyone, almost everybody, has a mobile phone. And wherever you are, you have access to make a call to whichever uncle or aunt you want to. Right? So that it was a different dispensation in those days, where the Holy Spirit had not been released on the entire of this world, and God spoke specifically to people at specific times in specific geographical arenas and areas. And so it was at this time. These angels were sitting. Do you want to go to the slides? These angels were sitting out there minding their own business, looking after their sheep. And think about it. All of a sudden, an angel appears. They'd never had a visitation before. They'd never known what it was like to see an angel. But this angel comes, and the first thing the angel says to them is, "Do not be afraid." Because let me tell you, if you go home tonight and you are woken up by an angel, the first thing you're probably going to feel is, "Oh my God, afraid." Because it's not something you're used to. Yes, after the visitation, you say, "Oh, it was an angel of the Lord. I wasn't afraid. I knew it was the angel." But for those few moments, your heart will skip a beat if somebody woke you up in your sleep and you suddenly saw this bright light saying, "Behold, I am with you." So these people were freaked out when they saw the angel, which is why the first thing the angel said in most angelic visits was, "Hey, don't be afraid." And then the angel introduces himself. So it wasn't just an angel, the Bible says. There was a whole host of the Lord's armies. So it wasn't just one supernatural expression of God trying to get someone's attention. The whole host of the armies came to these simple people. God was sending a message to this world. In as much as Jerusalem And the nation of Israel was looking forward to a savior. God had also come for the least of us. Amen. And so we see here the angels come and they let the shepherds know that a savior is born. When the stain of sin in our lives, when the stain of sin is on our lives, we need Christ to save us. We need Him to do what He can do for us. But when the stain of sin is removed from our lives, we can see Christ for who He is, and we can worship Him for what He means to us. There's a big difference between coming to God as a sinner and coming to God as a saint. A sinner comes in need of saving. A saint comes as a son, as a daughter to Jesus Christ. And thank God for all of us here who have committed our lives to Jesus. We are not like these shepherds in need of a savior. But because God, we have experienced the forgiveness and the power of God's work removing sin from our lives. So we see here God revealing the nature and the person of Christ to these simple shepherds. They were about to see something that they had never ever seen before. So what can we learn from their story and their experience with the supernatural visitation of an angel and the angelic host? What can you and I learn in our everyday life? The first thing is this, is they believed the visitation. They had never seen it before. They had never been to a church where someone had said, you know, last week an angel visited me. And so just look out for an angel this week. They just didn't know what it was. They were just minding their own business. They believed and they followed the angel's directions. They had a very, very simple faith. The simplicity of their faith is what brought a revelation of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes as believers, we try to be so complex in our walk with God. We have so many mantras and tantras that we need to find before we can just experience Jesus for who He is. And when actually Jesus is right there waiting to reveal Himself and all His glory to every one of us. And I want us this Christmas to experience the awe and the wonder of Jesus in our everyday life, just like these shepherds did. The second thing is they agreed. What did they agree on? Even after the angels had left, they agreed together to go see what... Flip the slides, my friend. To go see what was in Bethlehem. It says the shepherds... So they agreed to go to Bethlehem. Do you know, you and I need to have a spirit of agreement with God. When God wants to do something miraculous and supernatural and unusual in your life, if you don't agree with God's word, when we don't agree with the Spirit of God, when we don't agree with what God is doing, we can never experience what God wants us to experience. An agreement comes in many forms. It's in a mental decision to do something. It is in a thought pattern that opens up your heart and life to God and says, God, I want you to work in my life. That is agreeing with the Spirit of God. It also involves action. You are here this morning, many people are not, but you chose to agree with God to be here in the presence of God, right? That was a spirit of agreement. Many people disagreed and agreed to stay in bed or go somewhere else or do something else. And when we do that, we miss out on what God can do in our lives. Do you see what I'm saying? It's easy for us to agree. We say, come hear the prophet of God. Oh, I'm agreeing to go to the conference because I want to be blessed by the prophet of God. And it's not wrong for us to agree on such things. But God wants a spirit of agreement in everyday life. In every moment when God says, do this, say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And God says, Forgive. Yes, Lord, I'll forgive. And God says, don't get angry. Yes, God, I won't get angry. Find that spirit and attitude of agreement. Because when you do, you see Christ like you have never seen him before. They didn't just agree. They made an effort. Everybody say they made an effort.
Yeah.
I believe the Bible talks about a church that is asleep. I want to talk about a church that is lazy. I posted something intentionally controversial this week. We went to have a cup of tea at a Cafe Irani on the way to get some work done in Worli. And we took a lunch break there. Supposed to serve amazing Irani. And I love my Irani chai and all things Irani cafe. It transports me back to my childhood. And we'll all go there one day. And we went there about 1:45. And they said to me, sorry, we're closed. You can sit in the cafe, but we're not serving. So what? We've come all the way from Andheri. He gave them our sad story. He said, well, if you want, you can sit and wait. In about 15-20 minutes, we can serve you. And I said, why? He says, they've gone to pray. They've gone to do namaz. After namaz, we will serve you. I marvel at the commitment of these individuals. They're willing to lose money. They're willing to let go of customers. And they're not ashamed to say, if you want it, wait, otherwise I'm praying right now. Now some will say, oh, but that's religious behavior. But I think it's about time we got a little bit more religious discipline into our lives. What they have is not religious behavior. It is the discipline to their faith and to what they believe. It's about time you and I as believers had that discipline. These shepherds made the effort. Discipline requires effort. Without that effort, discipline is never followed through. In whatever aspect of your life, inculcate, make the discipline and the effort to put God first. To put the things and the purposes of God on your highest priority. Because when you make the effort, all of heaven gets behind you. Do you know that? That's what faith is. Faith without actions is dead. It's easy for me to sit in a chair and say, God is going to bless me. God is going to bless me. I'm speaking the blessings of the Lord over my life. God is going to bless me. Wake up the next morning. God is going to bless me. I'm wondering, why is my bank account going down every day? But God only blesses you when you proclaim and you do something. You make an effort. Faith that is energized is what heaven gets behind. There's no claim it and name it and frame it. It is you claim it. And then you do something with God. And then you can receive it. Amen. These shepherds, they traveled to Bethlehem. They lived outside of Bethlehem. It was an inconvenience. It cost them money. They had to rearrange some other shepherds to look after their sheep. They had to pack a lunch. Their whole family was probably inconvenienced. Their wives had to pack food for them. But they had good news. The Savior of the world had come. And they were interested to see if that was real. They were inquisitive enough to make the effort to go and check out the supernatural visitation that they had had. They took time out of their daily routine. I talked about the interruptions of the Holy Spirit last week. I want to remind you today that in the routine of your daily life, if you want to really and truly experience the revelation and the awe and the wonder of Jesus Christ, you are going to have to make an effort to disturb your routine. You're going to have to make an effort to rearrange things in your life so God can get to you. And so you can, not God can get to you, it's so you can get what God has for you. because they believed, because they agreed, because they made the effort, because they were willing to pay the price. The shepherds went back, the Bible says, to their flocks. What did they do? They went back where? Glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Isn't that interesting? They had this supernatural revelation. And what do? They went back to doing what?
Telling them
what they were doing before. Today, if somebody has a supernatural revelation, they want to open up a ministry and corporation. Listen, God reveals Himself to you to draw you closer to Him. Go to the next slide. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard or seen. Look at that. That's what they went back to. I mean, just think about it. Supernatural revelation, angelic hosts, all of heaven, most of heaven, or whatever of heaven comes down. Okay, these guys are in awe and wonder what's happened. They go and check it out. And just as the angels had said, it is as they had seen, there is the baby Christ Jesus. They do what they're supposed to do. What do? They go back to their flock. What does that tell us? Is God reveals Himself to us in the everyday moments of our life. The supernatural we can experience at any point. What Gwen did in giving that child a gift was a supernatural thing for that child. Perhaps it is something that he will never forget for the rest of his life. Why would an absolute stranger do something for somebody? You see, we miss these moments in our life. We miss these moments every day. And I want to encourage you in this month as we are looking at the awe and wonder of Christ and Christmas is just to allow God to open up our eyes. Agree with heaven. Know that God wants to do something amazing in and through your life. Know that He wants to take your life forward. He's got good things for you. But also know that you're going to have to make the effort. Know that you're going to have to do whatever you need to do, because when you make the effort, what does Christ do? Christ is revealed to you. There are so many people that we pastor, that we've pastored over the years, and that we pastor now. And I just believe there are two types of believers. The believers that desire God, and the other believers are just simply lazy. They don't want to make the effort, but they want the blessing. They don't want to have a disciplined life, but they want God to come through for them. They want to be able to name it and claim it and frame it. And let me tell you, I don't know a God who operates like that. Nowhere in the Bible, with any exercise of faith, did things just happen because somebody just said, God, give it to me. God is not an ATM machine. You don't key in a special scripture and out pops money for you. You don't key in a special scripture and out pops something for you. Your faith always requires you to act. Because if you don't act, what kind of faith is it? It's dead. And what faith does God reward? God rewards those who are faithful. He's the rewarder of those that seek Him. These shepherds were seeking God, and He rewarded them with a revelation of Himself. You with me? Because they were seeking God. They were hungry and they wanted to know who this Jesus Christ was. Come on. I trust that you're not in the lazy bunch, that you're not in the indisciplined group, but you guys are ready to receive all that God has for you, that you're willing to pay the price. Amen. Amen. To make choices and decisions that allow the Spirit of God to reveal the Christ Jesus to you. What will be your prayer these next few weeks? No, like the shepherds, they were not disappointed when they made the effort to go and seek for Jesus Christ. When you seek after God, He will never disappoint you. So what should be our prayer this Christmas? What should be your prayer this Christmas? Lord, I pray for a greater revelation of who You are. Lord, I pray that I would see You in Your awe and Your wonder. I pray that in the routine of my life, I will allow the Holy Spirit to disrupt and interrupt my life so that I can catch a glimpse of who You truly are. And that revelation revives your life. Let's just pray. I want each of you, as we come to the communion table, as we prepare to receive from Jesus at this time, as you come in faith to the communion table, I want you to come expectant. I invite you to let this prayer be the prayer of your heart. Jesus, reveal Yourself to me in greater measure this week. Show me things about You that I have never known. Help me to enjoy reading Your Word and reveal more of You to me in my life every day. I want you for a few moments just in stillness to wait on God, and you pray for yourself right now.